ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Konnichiwa, Frank Kelly here, fresh from a holiday in Japan. And there's something special about escaping the everyday, isn't there? Diving headlong into a new culture, seeing the same sky but a different view, realising what makes us all the same but different. And that's precisely what we offer on the Radio National Hour. Every weekday, you'll hear stories that surprise you. You'll meet people that make the news and make you think. So next time you feel like exploring the world, just search for the Radio National Hour right here on ABC Listen.
In the past week, Donald Trump's obsession with his grand ballroom has reared its head again. He was even talking about it after a suspected third attempt on his life. The president has torn down the East Wing to make way for the huge room that critics say will dominate the White House. Today, Dan Diamond, White House reporter, The Washington Post, on legal efforts to stop the president and what Trump's motives really are. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dan, it's been a huge week for Donald Trump. At the start of it, peace talks with Iran fell off the rails. He hosted King Charles and Queen Camilla. And, well, he survived what's considered as a third assassination attempt. There's a lot going on.
And through it all, he's very focused on building his White House ballroom.
Yes.
He keeps coming back to that.
Yes, it is striking when he brings this up, isn't it? Even after this press dinner incident, this shooting incident, Trump was on his feet talking about it again, wasn't he?
He was. He was talking about it in the press briefing room.
I didn't want to say this, but this is why we have to have all of the attributes of what we're planning at the White House. It's actually a larger room, and it's much more secure. It's drone-proof, it's bulletproof glass. We need the ballroom. That's why Secret Service.
And I was covering President Trump's press conference with the Artemis astronauts who had just returned from space. And the president was asked what his schedule had been, and he said, well, I was with the contractors today working on the ballroom.
I've been with the astronauts. I've been with contractors because we're trying to get the ballroom built.
Yeah.
Ahead of schedule. It's right on schedule. It's ahead of schedule now. I want to keep it that way.
I mean, this is something that we joke about it sometimes, but if one of those jokes that might be true, that this might be the issue that is closest to his heart, trying to build this White House addition before he leaves office.
Yeah, he certainly seems fixated on it. He was also interviewed on Fox News after that dinner shooting, and he was going on about
beautiful, very, very secure ballroom in every way with massive bulletproof glass that's almost 4 inches thick. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Well, according, Dan, to a report you co-authored in the Washington Post a few weeks ago, Donald Trump has publicly highlighted the ballroom project about a third of the days of this year. Just tell me about that, because that seems rather extraordinary.
And that was before he highlighted it every day, it feels like, this week.
Yes.
So my colleague at the Post and I, Ence Morse, we went back and we just tracked his remarks, his Truth Social posts, and we expected a lot of mentions of the White House ballroom. I don't think we expected it to surpass other policy priorities that the president has allegedly highlighted as big goals for this year. We have a midterm election coming up here in the States. Control of Congress is in the balance. Republicans are trying to campaign on issues like drug prices and affordability. And when you look at some of the things that Trump mentions less than the ballroom, there are things like this new Trump RX website, his new drug pricing website that his advisors really, really want him to focus on. But that pales, in, especially in recent days, to how many times he invokes the ballroom.
Wow. Yeah, it's clearly one of the most important things on his mind. And it's not just the ballroom, is it, Dan? He also wants to build a presidential library, an Arc de Triomphe type structure, a triumphal arc, I think it's going to be called. You know, he wants his face on banknotes. There's a lot of things that Donald Trump wants to sort of memorialize himself.
you're describing what I feel like have been half of my stories this year. Mm. The push by President Trump to build things and brand things. It's not new. This is actually who Donald Trump was before he became a politician. He was a builder. He was a real estate guy. He had Trump steaks, Trump planes, Trump TV shows. I mean, he is a guy who likes his name out there. The difference is in his second term, even more than in his first, he wants to use the powers of the government to leave a legacy. And before you know it, Trump's name is on the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. Trump might have his name or face on currency. These are very big changes that many Republicans, and I talked to some on the phone today, don't like these changes.
Well, Dan, we'll come to efforts that are underway to stop Donald Trump from building this ballroom in a moment. But why don't we delve a bit deeper into the why he is doing all of this. Now, according to Jesse Watters from Fox News at a Turning Point USA conference last year, he said that Trump had told him that it will be a monument to himself, this ballroom.
He goes, Jesse, you want to see the rendition of the big, beautiful ballroom? I said, sure, let me see it. He rolls the whole thing out. And guys, I don't know if you know this, the ballroom is huge. Like, I said, Mr. President, the ballroom is four times the size of the White House. He said, Jesse, I'm building a monument to myself because no one else will.
Is he worried that if he doesn't build it, nobody will? This sort of monument, memorial to himself.
Well, I can't speak to what the president told Jesse Watters, but I do think what you just asked has some truth to it, that President Trump has wanted a presidential ballroom for a long time. He pitched it during President Obama's administration. President Obama's advisor, David Axelrod, has, I think, acknowledged that President Trump pitched him on this. So the current President Trump has in his mind that this is something needed, that other presidents in the future will enjoy it. It's not lost on him that if he builds it, it might bear his name. He loves ballrooms. If you've been to one of his hotels or seen his Mar-a-Lago resort, you know that he has these big gilded ballrooms that the White House ballroom would resemble. So I do think that's a big piece of it. There are other factors too, though. One, as I mentioned, is he himself is a builder. Mm. He feels very comfortable with these kinds of issues in ways that he doesn't feel comfortable with, say, the intricacies of economic policies. So I think that's part of it. And the legacy part, obviously, too. There's probably one more aspect as well, which is President Trump in his second term doesn't really care that much about what voters render as a verdict. His popularity is not particularly high, according to polls. These initiatives don't poll very well, but he's pushing ahead anyway because, you know, he's 79 years old. The finish line is in sight, as it were, and he just wants to get these things done because they're important to him.
But just to note, Dan, that it's more common in authoritarian states that these sort of monuments are built for serving presidents, not normally in the United States of America. It normally comes after the president has left office or they've died.
There's so much in this administration that is abnormal, but you're absolutely right that this president's efforts to put his name, his face on government buildings, on currency, there really is no precedent. There was one time a century ago where the sitting president of the United States had his face on a coin, like a commemorative coin. And the reaction in part was so bad that they melted down those coins. So this is something that President Trump and his team want. But if you look at the polling, there are a lot of Republicans who don't want this. He's really pushing against the will of many Americans.
Well, Dan, let's consider the efforts that are underway to stop Donald Trump building this big ballroom. Now, he has faced a challenge in the courts, right? So just tell me about that and where that is up to.
My reporting partner and I, Jonathan Edwards, have been covering this case closely. We broke the news of the lawsuit. We've been in the court for each one of the hearings. There is a historic preservation group here in the States, the National Trust, which brought suit about 4 or 5 months ago to try to stop the ballroom from going forward. The east wing of the White House had already been torn down. Mm. The construction crews were on site starting to build the ballroom. And the National Trust said, none of this is okay. There should not be a precedent where the U.S. president just tears down parts of the White House and starts rebuilding it without some oversight, without Congress getting to weigh in, without the public getting to comment. And a federal judge essentially agreed with them after some back and forth. The federal judge ordered that the ballroom construction be halted. He said if there was national security work that needed to be done, if there was a top secret bunker, for instance, which we kind of know exists, if that needs to be worked on, that's okay. But the big ballroom that President Trump wants, that, the judge said, cannot move forward until Congress gives its okay. Now, there is another court here in America, an appeals court, that has put that order on pause. But either way, that legal challenge is probably the last big hurdle outside of the logistical ones facing this ballroom. If that legal challenge fails, the president won't get his ballroom. And if the legal challenge succeeds, it's a real question about what gets built in the big hole next to the White House.
Donald Trump, though, Dan, he argues that he didn't need congressional approval because the $400 million he needs to fund this rather large ballroom would be funded by private donations, not by the taxpayer, which is rather problematic in itself.
Absolutely. We don't know how much each of these investors has given. We know some of them, and in some cases it appears they may have gotten, if not access to Donald Trump, they may have gotten time to argue their policies. It's possible some of them have gotten beneficial policy action because they've given millions of dollars to the president's project. And these are companies like Palantir, like Lockheed Martin, like Amazon. And I should note that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, and we've been covering this aggressively. There's been no interference in our coverage, but these are important people and big companies that are trying to get Donald Trump's ear, and they are contributing to this project and allegedly have given hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, Dan, after this press dinner shooting, momentum does seem to be building. It's being used, isn't it, by Republicans in Congress, by the Department of Justice, as a reason why the courts should get out of the way.
So what has been very interesting is this flurry of public interest of the president going on TV and saying, this is why I need a ballroom, of Republican lawmakers saying, no, we have to fund this ballroom. But we at the Washington Post just did a poll that came out today that essentially public opinion has not changed. Yes, some more Republicans do support the ballroom, but overall, 56% of Americans oppose the project and only 28% support it. Now, Trump's team has made the argument to the court that, look, this assassination attempt is proof for why a ballroom is needed. They file this extraordinary legal brief, and we'll have to see what the court says about that. And even if the president does get to build this ballroom, I'm a member of that White House Correspondents Association. I was in the room when the shooter was tackled outside. There is no guarantee that that organization, that journalism organization, or any other private organization would want to hold its parties at the White House ballroom.
And presumably, if it's about security, the president also can't do everything in that ballroom, even if it does have an underground bunker.
I mean, I guess he could be like Howard Hughes or one of these recluses who just, you know, never leaves the building. But
never leaves the ballroom.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the ultimate goal. I'm just joking, by the way.
Yeah.
But national security was not the reason last year for building this ballroom. It was just to host parties and events, not to keep the president safe.
And as you say, the public aren't buying it. But Dan, if it's not about security, is it then just about legacy in your mind? Is this all about Donald Trump wanting to memorialize himself while he's still the president of the United States?
I think some of these projects absolutely, explicitly about legacy. We really haven't talked about the Triumphal Arch, but that's something that Trump really wants to build. You can't really have parties at the Triumphal Arch, but he sees that as a real monument to himself in some ways, that he'd be the president. Trump and triumphal aren't really that different words. The joke is that it's Arc de Trump, but that's not a total joke to him, I think.
We're building an arc like the Arc de Triomphe, and it's something that is so special. It will be like the one in Paris, but to be honest with you, it blows it away. Blows it away in every way.
The ballroom is a little bit different. There are a bunch of reasons. I don't think it's as simple as this is a legacy item, but absolutely that's part of it.
And Dan, once he's gone, once he's left the White House, will there be an appetite, do you think, in the future to tear all these monuments down?
I was talking to Rufus Gifford, the former ambassador to Denmark under President Obama, and then he was chief protocol officer under President Biden. We were talking last week, and Ambassador Gifford said he can't wait to take a chisel to all of President Trump's changes when he leaves. Some of those changes can be chiseled off. Other changes like a big ballroom are going to be a little bit harder, and you might have to learn to live with them, or there would have to be a very, very big project to undo it.
Dan Diamond is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.